welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
What flavor buble are you
drinking? That's peach buble. Peach buble, motherfucker.
Buble's peaches. So childish.
Hi, Reese.
Hi, Jesse. I've got
this. Is what's the show? What's the name? I mean, this is
Canadian Bollocks is Boring. I'm Reese, the Welsh one. This is Jesse, the Canadian one who's with me. He's the one with the Canadian accent. That's how you know he's Canadian. And Jesse, and we are doing election coverage.
So this episode, much like the last few episodes, are not what our show is normally like. We are doing election coverage, which is just basically Reese tells me about the election and I angrily rant at it.
And then people go, I like Jesse's rants,
which is nice. It's a nice thing to hear.
Yeah, until they get bored of them, but luckily we'll end.
Can we do like a processed little musical intro for Jesse's rants right now? Can you say Jesse's rants on top of me saying Jesse's rants, and we'll put a little music and like echo over something?
And in this episode, we'll feature some of Jesse's rants.
Ready? Here we go. 3, 2, 1. You have to say Jesse's rants when I say that. Okay. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Jesse's rants.
Wait, no. We should say that like a little more evil, like evilly. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Jesse's rants. I'm a sociopath. You don't know I'm evil. That's the character I was playing. You think I'm nice? I'm like Tom Cruise. Everyone thinks I'm nice, but I'm dead in the eyes. That's what Christian Bale, when he did American Psycho, yeah. he based the whole acting on Tom Cruise. Because he was really? Like, everyone says Tom Cruise is really nice, but you look in his eyes and he's dead in the eyes. That's what Christian Bale used.
I heard on Dax Shepard's podcast, which I'd love to be a part of, Armchair Expert. It's a fantastic show.
You pitch into Dax Shepard.
Sure, yeah, fuck it. Dax, if you're listening, get a hold of us. You know,
yeah, with Jeff. If you're listening with Jeff Bezos and whoever else we said.
Anyway, he had an episode on with Matt Damon, and they were talking about how celebrity status kind of affects you. And Matt's was like, I'm really quite thankful that I wasn't a celebrity as a kid or as a teenager, because it can kind of get into your head and like really, really affect. Like he, you know, Matt grew up kind of poor, or not, maybe not grew up poor, but when he was like trying to like become an actor and a screenwriter, he was poor at that point in his life. And so he knew the other side of the coin. Whereas people like, you know, Tom Cruise have been kind of rich and a celebrity for like a long time of their life. There we go, Jesse.
Most of their life.
That's it. That's better. And it just kind of, it really fucks with your head. You know, it's like, he's sociopathic, but like, it's kind of like we, the people, have kind of molded him into that.
Yeah. You know? I've told you my Tom Cruise story on this podcast, haven't I?
I don't know.
I'm sure I've told you this.
You might have. I have my memory.
When I watched him administer first aid.
That sounds... Tell it again. That sounds amazing.
So I did some work with the studio director of Top Gear on a different project that wasn't Top Gear.
You worked on Top Gear?
No, I worked with the director on a different project, but he was the studio director of Top Gear.
That's pretty cool.
And he gave me some free tickets to be in the studio the old Top Gear.
You
didn't
tell me this, but tell it again. It's so good.
And we went down there in the airfield, and it was the episode where Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz were the stars in the really reasonably priced cars. And it was as hot as it is in the studio now and very humid.
Yeah.
And I was right at the front. There was like one person in front of me and they were there.
You were in the audience?
In the audience, yeah. They were sat doing the interview, and the guy in front of me fainted. And I kind of supported him as he kind of went down and loaded to the ground. And I looked up and Tom Cruise just like magically leapt down and started like checking his pulse and administering first aid right in front of me.
Like CPR?
At which point
was Tom Cruise doing CPR in front of
him? No, he was just like checking him over because he passed out. He was just like checking his breathing and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Tom Cruise knew exactly what to do. And I was just stood there going, at that point I was no use. First of all, I was helpful. I was going, I'm going to help this guy, guide him to the floor. And then Tom Cruise stepped in and I just stood there going, I'm watching Tom Cruise administer first aid. Cameron Diaz didn't budge. She just watched him fall.
Well, that sounds like Tom's a really nice guy. If that's
it, he was, you know, he didn't even think, he just acted going, somebody needs help. So
right, I mean, that's a true, you know, yeah, exactly.
It's my only Tom Cruise story.
That's a great Tom Cruise story, though.
Actually, someone I was in film school with worked on what's the World War II film he was in where he was the planting the bomb.
Oh yeah. Valkyrie.
Yeah, and she was German, and she was a runner on that film, and he bought everyone iPads back when iPads first came out.
Oh wow. That's crazy.
Which is nice.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah. That's cool. Anyway, well, maybe he's a really nice guy.
Maybe he is.
I don't know.
This is our political election coverage, talking about Tom Cruise, yeah. Cruise stories.
Small talk over.
Canada's recovery plan.
That's something we haven't done in a while.
Small talk over.
No, when we used to start episodes, be like, time for small talk now.
That's
enough small talk, yeah.
Canada's recovery plan, have you heard about it? Have you seen the picture?
Is this a new thing?
So this is the Conservatives' platform for being elected. It's called Canada's Recovery Plan, and I'm going to show you a picture.
Oh, it's
that's
good.
The front cover.
I've seen that picture with Aaron O'Toole on it with his fucking massive guns. Jesus Christ. Is that Aaron O'Toole?
It is Aaron O'Toole.
He's got fucking he's guns, been running. Man.
And,
look at his guns.
He's like ex-military, so he probably knows how to train. But it looks like...
massive biceps.
It looks like GQ said no to the Conservatives, so they said, fine, we'll make our own health magazine or whatever, men's magazine. It looks like the front cover. It's like if he was going to be on front cover of Men's Health or GQ magazine.
There's a magazine called Canada's Recovery
Plan? No, that's the front cover of their plan for their election pitch.
Oh, I literally thought it was a magazine cover.
No. They just made it look like a magazine cover.
Because my magazines were saying no to them.
I imagine that GQ said, because Jagmeet Singh's been on the front cover of GQ and was called one of the best dressed politicians in the world.
Oh, he's pretty well dressed.
And then Aaron O'Toole. And
he's a sharp fucking dresser.
He is a very sharp dresser. But then Aaron O'Toole isn't. And wasn't featured on any of these magazines, so they just made their own and was like, this is it. And
that's fucking hilarious.
Like, you've seen me wearing suits, but now I'm wearing a t-shirt.
Oh my God, hold on, let me see it again. Oh, Reese, you're good at Photoshop. Can you take that and turn it into Banana Bread Monthly?
Yes. My top five banana bread recipes with Aaron. So he's got Canada's recovery plan, recover a million jobs, new anti-corruption law, Canada's mental health action plan, protect something, balancing the budget. So,
hold on, did you say protect something?
I can't, the text is too small.
Oh, okay. Protect, that was literally one of the things.
Protect your penis from STDs, I imagine.
Aaron O'Toole knows best.
Exactly. But, and to be fair, actually, there was... As much as I try to take a balanced view. I try and stay.
Them talking about important issues that Canadians currently care about does not mean they're going to do it.
So there's a PD, you know, I know.
It just means they've done their research as to what people are currently talking about. That's it.
This is a 83-page PDF about what they will do to the country.
That they got someone in India to write for $3 an hour.
Yeah, they blasted it on Fiverr.
I'm honest to God, I'm not surprised if that actually happened.
Hello, we're looking for someone. But also, they've got some of the stuff on there. Like they said, we're going to build a million new homes now, which is a really ambitious thing and a great thing to say.
What they didn't say is these million new homes are going to be condos for the super rich.
Yeah, well, it doesn't say social houses is a million, and then Trudeau has come back.
Canada has this really, really, and I guess Canada's not the only country that does it. We have a barrier head in the sand policy when it comes to the homeless and it comes to the poor. We really do. We have a, if we do this, we will attract more rich people and we will push more poor people out. And we don't care where the poor people go. But as long as they're not here, we're happy. And that's, it's, ugh. Anyway, yeah. Okay, I mean, started well, I mean, on that. I mean,
and, this is my favorite photo. Look at that. He's looking into the camera saying, I'm going to have sex with
he
you.
He looks like Colin Mockery from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
He doesn't look like Colin Mockery from Whose Line Is It?
A little bit. From
he's got a smartwatch on.
All right, yeah. Colin would never be caught dead with a smartwatch.
No, exactly. But also the other thing, I mean, there's some of the, but what he had is then Trudeau came out shortly after saying, well, we're going to build 1.4 million homes. So it's kind of, the one thing they did say in there, and again, this is something they say, and it's not necessarily saying it's something they'll do, was that on the board of
I don't know if we need more homes as much as we need affordable homes.
No, the problem is there's a shortage of homes, and that's why the prices are so high. It's supply and demand.
Oh, is that? Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. But they do need more affordable homes. It's pointless building more expensive homes. Mm. But the
which, I mean, the market is currently what it is, then we'll just build more expensive homes because that's what we can, you know. Anyway. Well,
the one thing that I thought was a good policy, and again, whether they do it or not is another thing, was that big corporations, on the board of a big corporation, there should be a representative of employees on there to help them make decisions.
Say that again?
So employees should elect a representative. Say Amazon was operating, Amazon Canada.
Yeah.
They would have to elect an employee who would sit on the board as the representative of employees.
They do. It's called unions.
No, but they don't get a seat at the table.
Unions? They definitely have a voice. That's
they have
for
a voice,
sure.
But they're not actually involved actively in the board's decision making processes.
I don't know if that's true. I have a friend who runs a union, and like they're very active in the.
Doesn't happen in the UK. Maybe it does.
What's that coming down the driveway, Reese?
It's me with a fresh delivery from the ad man. Come smell it.
Oh my gosh. I will come smell it. I love how your ads smell.
Oh golly, it's fresh.
Leah, stuff it in my face.
Ah, fresh ads.
Smack me in the face with it. Oh yeah, just the way I like it. Ads.
Somebody pointed out, some eagle-eyed person pointed out that, let me show you this. So they're basically saying that there's a hidden, and this could be a coincidence, but they're saying that there is a potentially hidden white supremacy message.
Oh my God.
One of the things, and that this is...
Who's... Okay, what? Can you go into depth here? This is...
So I'm going to go into this now. I'm just bringing up the links. So... They posted something that said secure jobs, secure accountability, secure mental health, secure the country, secure our economy. And it's basically that adds up to 14 words and 88 characters. And if you're someone who follows what the far right is up to, I don't know if you do.
I don't.
But
just what you tell me.
14 words is a reference to the most popular white supremacist slogan, which is, I'm not going to say it because they, so basically it's a slogan talking about securing the future. And it's made up of 14 words and 88 characters. And what you'll see is people will show the symbol, like the number 14, they'll get a tattoo that says 14. And the secret code, the other far-right supremacists would know.
Wow, really?
Look, there's a number 14 on there. So in this 14 words, they actually say secure the existence for our people and a future for white children. And so it's the same word in the 14 words, and then it's also in the same thing they posted.
I mean, I gotta say, that's pretty coincidental. But like, if it's 88 characters and 14 words with the word secure in it,
well, secure the future is their main tagline.
Right.
And then within this statement, it lines up to...
I mean, you know, it could be. So maybe some white supremacist came up that's like, ah, ha, ha, I'll make this slogan and no one will fucking know.
Which you could say is like a massive conspiracy and
to
ridiculous.
To do what, though? To do what? What's the angle here?
Honestly, in my head, the most reasonable explanation is Aaron O'Toole's voting record is very liberal. He's... if you look
as
at what
he used to vote liberal?
No, as in like he voted, like he didn't vote. He's not your kind of iconic conservative voter. He was supportive of gay marriage and he's kind of been very much of a middle of the road conservative in terms of his views. He's not a far right
conservative.
He's an urban conservative. He's a very kind of metropolitan kind of
that's fair.
Liberal.
Yeah.
Conservative, sorry. And makes me think that maybe it went in, maybe there's someone in his team who is. And
wouldn't surprise me.
It's a secret thing. That seems like plausible. In which case,
funny.
I don't know whether that's good or bad or better or worse. I have no idea what
that
means.
I think it's just funny. Honestly, it's not going to have an impact on anything. It's just, it's someone figuring out that someone may have, like, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It has
zero impact on anything.
A lot of people say it is a dog whistle so that people on the far right are going to vote for him. That it was like kind of they're talking the talk of being in the middle of the road and we've got these kind of
similar
liberal policies.
I don't think we have enough people on the far extremist right to actually make an impact. Thank God. I don't.
And also, they can't count, so they don't know how many words there are anyway.
I almost spit out my buble.
If you're from the far right and you can count, send us an email.
No.
Maybe even send us two emails.
Oh, God.
Angrily.
Just to prove that you can count.
Just to prove you can count.
Up to two.
This is a test. Did you know that crows can only count to three? And if you're a farmer,
the fact that crows can count at all is kind of
mind
blowing. I'm not like so, and only if you're a three.
Well, if you're a farmer, then
what
I
an
think,
idiot.
This is my understanding is that crows, if you want to shoot them to get rid of them because they're eating your crops, not for fun, you have to have three people with guns in the field like not doing, like looking like they're going to shoot, but looking the other way, and the crows think they're safe. And then you have a fourth person actually shooting the crows, and they can't work out where it's coming from because they can see three people with guns not shooting anyone. It sounds bizarre, but a farmer once told it to me, and I don't know, I still can't work out whether he was winding me up.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right to me.
In my head, it made sense, and then I vocalized, and I feel like a right dick. It's me accusing far-right people of not being able to count when
Some farmer thought they were very funny that
day.
No,
exactly.
Got another one.
Can't believe that urban person believed my crow story. If you know anything about crows and them
putting an ad in the local paper, need four men with shotguns.
Exactly. Anyway,
who
cool.
Who can count really well.
This has been fun. I've had a good time.
Yeah, yay. Fun things are fun.
Do you know what else is fun?
What?
Bouncy castles. Do you know what isn't fun?
What?
Rain made of knives.
What if you combine the two?
A bouncy castle, and then it rains knives. And
I'd get pretty messy real quick if people were in the bouncy castle.
I had a bouncy castle for my 10th birthday rented. It was great.
How did that go?
Good.
Tell us about it.
It turned up early. I had a good 4 hours on it before the party started.
And then you were exhausted.
And then I had another 2 hours for the party, and then I bounced on it until they came to pick it up.
It does sound pretty fun, Reese.
If you're ever feeling down, I recommend rent a bouncy castle for yourself.
Even if you're a full-grown man.
Just get it and just spend all day on the bouncy castle. Just...
I mean, I would do that. Honestly. I would do that if you did that.
That should be a government mental health service. Is like,
I would never just buy a bouncy castle for myself. Okay, there's a weird
rent a big one for the day.
Okay, hold on. This has got to be another psychological phenomenon where if you have someone else do the same thing as you. It's amazing how much bizarre shit you would do that you would never do by yourself. Never. Okay. It's like just one other person who wants to do the same crazy thing as you suddenly validates it. And it's a good idea and it's okay. Even if it's still like, you know, it's still kind of crazy. It's like you, for instance, if you're like, hey, Jesse, let's rent a bouncy castle, you and I, and put it in the parking lot of, you know, of our offices and just spend all day in it. I would 100% agree.
And would assign this
to do this.
Fuck off to everybody else.
Just for us. Yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat. I would. But I would never rent a bouncy castle for myself, for my own backyard, and just be in it on my own. That would seem ridiculous and stupid. Yeah, of course you would. Okay, yeah. So that's...
I wouldn't rule it out as an actual
thing. What did we talk about this episode again? What were
the Conservatives' plan they came up with. It's right. To secure the future for white children.
Yeah, that whole thing. I forgot about it already. It was so insignificant.
Yeah. I just thought it was a quirky thing to talk about that happened.
It was a quirky thing to talk about that happened.
Yeah. Is it a dog whistle? Is it a coincidence? Is it just some naughty person in their campaign? Doing horrible things. Who knows?
Who cares?
I care. I think I worry.
You don't.
I do worry.
About whether or not the
these white supremacists in the camp.
You worry about whether they're white supremacists in their corner. Okay, I see what you're saying. That makes much more sense. Rather than worry about whether or not one of their political essays was an anagram for...
Oh, just a reference.
That's not really worrying.
Yeah, yeah. The person who did it.
Right, yeah, okay, that makes more sense, yeah, okay.
Knowing that that if the election goes the way of the Conservatives, that they would be then in a senior position.
Sort of, right, yeah, okay.
That's
cackling
what
in the corner. Is that how white supremacists cackle?
No, they. I don't know, they just, I don't think they can laugh. Anyway,
this has been a weird episode.
It's been a weird episode. So, and don't forget, like,
start with white supremacists and end with bouncy castles.
Yeah, well, it's all linked. And don't forget, September the 20th live coverage. We'll put out YouTube links
Whatever. We don't know if it's going to be YouTube. It's whatever.
I think YouTube's bad.
Well, whatever. We're working with our network right
now. What is a Twitch?
We're working with our network right now to see what platform we will be using. But we'll let you know. And it's not like, you know, we'll talk about a brand new flat platform that's just come out a week before that no one knows how to use, it's going to be like something everyone's familiar about. So I'm like,
yeah, yeah. The idea is that it's going to be a platform that is easy and accessible and free. I like YouTube because chances are you've got the app on your TV, on your smart TV, so you can actually watch our...
You can put us on the big screen.
You can put us on the big screen and watch our election coverage. And if it's as hot as this, we'll just watch us sweat and dehydrate slowly.
Maybe I won't even wear antiperspirant that day.
No, no, exactly.
Just for you, listener.
Exactly. So, wonderful time had by all. Goodbye.
Yep. Wait, hold on. Call to action.
Rent a bouncy castle just for yourself.
Hold on. Call to action. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts that has to do with bouncy castles and or thunderstorms with knives.
Yeah. It's as fun as a bouncy castle in a thunderstorm with knives.
So you can't leave that one. Reese came up with that one right now. That gem.
Yeah.
That's, you look really distracted right now.
I'm not distracted. I'm just so warm.
Yeah. Welcome to Canada.
Canada's supposed to be cold. I'm disappointed in you, Canada. I was looking for... I love cold weather. I love cold weather.
Oh, you're one of those fucking people.
It's great.
You're a weirdo.
Well, the thing is, if you live somewhere cold, you can just put more layers on. If you live somewhere hot, you have to peel your skin off.
That's fucking disgusting. Jesus
With
Christ.
With a potato peeler.
Oh, my God. Okay, goodbye. That's gross. That's too much for me.
The air on my muscles is cooling. My exposed
fucking
muscle.
Gross. Oh, my God.
Bye.
Oh, my God.